guys so much. Hey, I thank you also for just genuinely coming back in, being willing to pray through that, and just sing that genuinely as a posture of our hearts. And so, if we haven't met before, my name is Jonathan. I get to hang with all you guys, and specifically, I got a small group, sixth grade Richardson boys down here. Come on. But we are going through Wake Unplugged this summer, and specifically, the series that we're going to be in this summer is called More to the Story. There's always more to the story, and we're going to be looking at the parables of Jesus and the stories that he told, and we're going to look for the why behind the stories that he told, because sometimes, if you read through the Gospels, you can get to different stories or parables that Jesus told, and you can be pretty confused by them. You can be like, man, there are a lot of details, there's a lot of, illustrations, different things, and you might not always understand what they mean. And so we're going to look at different parables each week this summer and unpack, hey, what is the why behind that, and how can I apply that to my daily life? So with that being said, there's many illustrations in parables, right? And so I'm going to start out this morning with an illustration for you guys. So I've got two different, I don't know if you'll call them boxes, I guess a bag and a box. These are two different gifts, right? So in this one is a lunch bag, just a regular old Walmart, crinkly, brown paper sack. And in this one, I've got what looks like a Christmas gift, right? And this one's a little bit heavier than that one. This one looks nearly empty. But I want to start there, and I'd just like to take a guess. Maybe you guys can guess and say, like, what do you think is in both of these bags? Like, what do you guys think is in this paper sack?
AirPods.
Nothing. Not a lot. All right. Okay. And what about in this Christmas bag here? Beets. There's a lot. All right. We're throwing them out. I love it. Okay. All right. Let's bring it back in. Let's bring it back in, because I'm actually going to reveal to you what's inside of these boxes. And I think if I polled all of you guys and y'all came up here and I gave you the option between these two bags, I think a lot of you guys would choose this one, right? It looks like a gift. It's got bows on it. It's colorful. I know. Y'all are all going to say, no, I wouldn't choose that one. But I think many of us would choose this because it looks like a gift, right? But if we actually open up this gift, inside of it is a rock. Okay? Maybe some of you guys guessed that. Maybe some of you didn't. All it is a rock. And then inside this paper bag, you may or may not have guessed, but there's money in here. And so this paper bag is actually worth a lot more than that nice-looking Christmas present with a rock inside of it, right? All right, so given that, all right, bring it back in. Focus up. And I think often that we, and I use that illustration and start with that, because I think often for a lot of us, we can judge the outside of how something looks and then base worth off of it based off of how something looks. And in the same way, I think we can do this with our actions, right? And I think we can think that, hey, if my outside looks really clean and nice and it looks like it's supposed to, then my inside must also be really good. And we think that our relationship with the Lord is in a really good spot. And sometimes, maybe it's not actually in a really good spot. And so today, we're actually going to talk about that very idea. Because this, we're going to look at a parable that Jesus taught about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And the Pharisee is someone who said, hey, I've got the Bible memorized. I have all the right answers. I look exactly like I'm supposed to. And the tax collector was someone who was a liar and a thief and a cheat. And he was someone who did not have it all put together on the outside. But the contents of their heart was really, really important. And so that's what we're going to look at today, because, again, I think for many of us in this room, we can think to ourselves, hey, I read my Bible, right? I pray. I don't cuss. I'm pretty nice to my parents. I'm a pretty good sibling overall. I try really, really hard to look like the Christian. But then for a lot of us, I think on the inside, we can say, man, I feel kind of empty. I don't know if that always connects with genuinely how I'm feeling or what's going on in my heart or the thoughts in my head, and even might play out in our actions. And I think we can start to think to ourselves, like, hey, I'm a pretty good person overall. I look at my classmates, I look at other people in this circle, and I go, oh, I compare myself to him, her, and him, and I think I'm better than those three people, and so therefore, like, I'm doing pretty good. I'm not as bad as that guy or that girl that I know at school. I behave better than my sibling. I pay attention more in class. Fill in the blank, whatever it is, we can compare our actions and our outside to other people's. But I want to make the case to you guys today that I think the Lord, I know that the Lord looks at our hearts just as much as he looks at our actions. And so if you relate to that in any way whatsoever, then this passage is for you today. If you think, hey, based on my actions, based on what I do, what I read, what I pray, I'm a good person, then I want you to pay attention closely to this story. And we're going to look specifically in Luke chapter 18. So if you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 18. If you don't, it'll be on the screen, and we're going to start reading in verse 9. And it says this: "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable." So I want to pause right there, right? To some who were confident of their own righteousness, Jesus was telling this parable. So again, if that's you in this audience, if that is someone where you're like, man, I'm confident that I am a good Christian and I've got it all together, this is a story that Jesus would have stood up here and told to you. And he says this: "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all that I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his chest and he said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' And Jesus says, 'I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.'" And so we have two main characters in this story, right? We have a Pharisee and a tax collector. And a Pharisee was someone who knew the Bible better than anyone. They're probably someone that would sit in this circle every single Sunday, raise their hand, and answer every single question. They would go to small group. They'd never miss. They loved the Old Testament so much that they added extra laws to the Bible because they wanted to be absolute perfect rule followers and honor Jesus with all of their works, or honor God with all of their works. And then we have a tax collector, right? And so tax collectors were actually hated by Jews. They were hated by Jews mainly for two reasons. One, they worked for Romans. And Romans were actually seen as the enemy at the day. Like, you were a traitor if you went and worked for the Roman government. It was someone who oppressed the Jews, someone who treated them poorly. And tax collectors said, all right, great. I'm going to go join the bad team. I'm going to work for the bad guys, and I'm going to oppress my own people. And then number two, they were hated because they cheated people out of the money that they collected from them. They charged them money and tax, but they'd actually pocket some. They'd charge them extra money. So not only were they traitors and on the bad team, they were also liars and cheaters and thieves. And so you have someone here, we have two characters, someone who has the entire Bible memorized, and we have someone who has stolen money from people for years, who is a traitor to his own people and oppressed his own people. And I go back to this illustration, right? Like, if you were to look at these presents, like, this on the outside, this would probably be the tax collector, right? Like, thief, cheat, doesn't look great on the outside. Probably, like, someone like, yeah, I don't want to hang around that guy. But then the Pharisee is like, oh, hey, I got it all together. I look the part. I look exactly like I'm supposed to. I've got it all together. I know all the rules. I've got the Bible memorized. I pray three times a day. I give. I tithe. I answer all the questions. I'm great to my parents. If you name it, I've done it, and I got it on my resume. But again, God looks at our hearts, and so we see that when they open their mouths, we see the content of their hearts. When both of these people open their mouths, we see the content of their hearts. And so specifically, I want to go back to that. There's a verse in this passage. I think it's like 10 or 11. But look at what the Pharisee says, and I want you to count with me how many times this Pharisee says "I" in his prayer, okay? He says, "God, I thank you," that's one, "that I am not like the other people," two, "robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector," "I fast twice a week," three, "and give a tenth of all I get," four times. This Pharisee says, "I thank you that I am not like other people. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get." Four times he addresses himself. How many times does he address God in this prayer? Once. You see, at the very beginning of the prayer, he says, "God." So he addresses himself four times, and he addresses God one time. The Pharisee ultimately prayed to himself more than he did actually to the Lord. And if we look at the tax collector's prayers, he actually says seven simple words. It says, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his chest and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He didn't even look up to heaven. He took a posture of humility. Lord, I'm not even good enough to look at you. I'm not even good enough to be in your presence. I've messed up. I've sinned. I've strayed away from you so far. But please have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. And the tax collector, I think, had something far, far greater than the Pharisee. Because what the tax collector had was a proper understanding of who God was and who he was. The tax collector had a proper understanding of who God was and who he was. And I don't think the Pharisee had that, because the Pharisee might have had a proper understanding of who God was, but the Pharisee's understanding of who he was, I am righteous based on what I do. I am good because I'm a good person. I am worthy because I've memorized my Bible. God loves me because I don't sin. That's what the Pharisee believed about himself. And all those things are not true. And the Pharisee relied on his own power, goodness, and his actions to seek the Lord. But the tax collector relied on the mercy and compassion of God. And the tax collector, he didn't say, God, be merciful to me because I'm not a Pharisee. God, be merciful to me. I'm only a human. I mess up all the time. God, be merciful to me. I'll try to do better next time. I'm sorry I sinned. I'm sorry that I cheated all these people out of money. I'll try to do better next time. No, he relied solely on God, and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he simply prayed with his whole heart and body, and he just said, God, I know who you are. I know you're a loving and gracious God. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And the passage goes on to say that this man went home justified, while the Pharisee went home and was not. Because he had a misunderstanding of who he was and how he gained favor with God. And I think if we hear that story right, it's easy to go, oh man, yeah, I would never act like that Pharisee. I would never truly think that that's how I gain righteousness or understanding. I know the gospel. But again, as I came up here and said, as we gave that worship song one more time through the chorus, I think it is so easy for us to go through the motions and think on a daily basis, I'm a pretty good guy. And maybe I wouldn't admit it to others, and maybe I wouldn't sit here and think that on a Sunday, but genuinely how I live my life is I'm a pretty good person. But I know for me personally, right, I'm on staff at a church, I'm up here teaching often, but way more often than not, I can live my life like that Pharisee. And if you were to open up the contents of my heart, I think a lot more often you would see someone who is controlling, someone who doesn't like to trust God in the unknown. I think you would see someone who was selfish. When it actually came down to, am I going to sacrifice sleep, time, money for other people? Man, I really don't enjoy doing that. You would see someone who is prideful, right? I think about myself often. What do other people think of me? How in the world can I gain more control or power or fill in the blank from other people that they would think highly of me? You would see someone who is self-sufficient, right? These are things that mark my heart daily. Yeah, I would raise my hand and say, I need God, but the reality is that I probably more often live my life out of a sense of, hey, Jonathan's got this. God is an add-on to what I already do on a daily basis. And guys, that's sinful. That is a sinful and broken heart, and I need God's mercy every single day, because even if we do sin and mess up all the time, even like that tax collector who was someone who on a consistent basis was like, man, I am broken and in need of God's mercy, if we genuinely even we give our actions and our brokenness over to the Lord, he can create someone in us who is humble, who thinks, hey, I'm going to think of others first before myself. Someone who is thoughtful. Hey, how can I serve other people? Out of my heart is, man, I'm going to be thoughtful about how I can go above and beyond. Not just do what I think I'm supposed to do because I'm a Christian, but I can genuinely be thoughtful about how I can care for other people. The Lord calls us to be a servant, right? And he can create in us a heart that looks for opportunities to take initiative for the benefit of others. And lastly, guys, God can create a heart in us that is loving. One that out of an understanding and an abundance of how much God loves us, that we love other people. And again, I'll tell you that I'll be the first one to stand up here and say that I much more often try to play the part of looking like I have it all together for the sake of other people thinking highly of me. And I don't know about you guys out there. I don't know what you think about or what your week goes on and you're like, man, I messed up in these areas, but I'm still pretty good in these areas. Guys, the main point, I think, that I want you to walk away from this text and this message is that we are broken sinners and God still loves us. At the end of the day, we are broken sinners and God still loves us. And I think you may understand the part that God loves you, but I would really challenge you and press you on the part. Do you understand that you are a broken sinner and on every single day that you need God's grace, his mercy, and his love for you? And that's not like a shameful thing, like, man, I am worthless, I am a sinner. It's not a self-deprecating thing where you just look at yourself and you're like, man, I'm not worthy. No, you are worthy because God chose you and deemed you as worthy. You are valuable because God loved you enough to send his son to die for you. And so when you truly have a proper understanding of who you are and who God is, I think it highlights and magnifies God's grace all the more in our lives. Because we realize, man, I was not worthy of God's love, but he chose me and he gave me value and he loves me and he sees me as worthy. And so in light of that, I want to give you guys each just 30 seconds. Just pause, phones down, neighbors, quit talking, messing with crazy creeks, all the things. Just 30 seconds to just close your eyes and to just pray. And maybe it's just as simple as that prayer to say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I know you love me, I know I'm broken, and I know there are parts of my heart I don't even realize that are far from you. And so we're just going to sit in silence for 30 seconds, and I just want you to take some time and genuinely address your heart before the Lord. Lord, I pray for the students in this room. I pray for my heart that is broken and in need of a good God. I pray for the ways that I fail to see you on a daily basis and choose my selfishness over serving and loving others out of an understanding of how much you love us. Lord, I pray if anyone in this room would think that, man, they're better than other people or think that they are valued more because of their actions or what they bring to the table to offer you, that you would show them that that's not true. That we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory, and we bring nothing to the table except what you have given us, which is your son and love and care and mercy. And so, Lord, I'm grateful that that is true of your character and of your heart, Lord, and I pray that this summer that you would continue to challenge all of us to think of different ways that we can humble ourselves before you and have a genuine understanding of who you are and who we are. Lord, I pray all these things in your name. Amen.